Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk.
Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. Today we are talking about being okay with saying what word? N-O.
No.
Being okay with no's.
My favorite four-letter word.
It's a four-letter word, yeah. You say no, which is what the verse says, right? There's a verse I pulled up for today.
Oh, do it.
Let your yes be yes and no be no.
There it is.
There's a simplified version. It says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Yeah. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So
yes. Christina doesn't like that verse because earlier in our marriage, she would try to get me to promise or swear to something. I'm like, no, my word's my word. If I said it, then that works.
Oh yeah. Well, so let's dive into the verse just a little more.
Yeah.
Which is that what he's talking about right before that is that we shouldn't take oaths.
Yeah.
That we shouldn't go into these agreements that can be broken.
Yeah.
And that's important because how many times do we do that, even in a religious standpoint?
Absolutely.
To say, well, I promise to do this. I promise to do that.
Yeah.
And then we're setting ourselves up for failure, basically.
Yes.
Which I think might be the reason that Jesus was saying that.
He's like, look, you guys as human beings, you have a track record here.
Yeah, he just kind of knows some stuff about the human condition. He just knows some stuff about the human condition that we're not probably going to be able to always fulfill our oaths that we make.
Exactly.
I mean, if you look at the Old Testament, they struggle a little bit sometimes with the promises that they kept made.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. But I think that's really interesting, you know, and that because I think sometimes, especially as we get into this topic of saying no, I think sometimes we feel a weight of expectation.
Yeah.
Almost as though an oath has been like a silent, didn't realize it, but maybe somewhere I signed something type of we feel this weight of expectation, like almost as if we did take an oath sometimes. And we have a hard time saying no to others because we tie it in with, you know, well, if I say no, then am I failing in some sense, whether that's in being a good friend? Am I, you know, and I committed to being a good friend? Am I failing in my commitment to our church? You know, if I say no to volunteering, am I failing? Am I not giving what I am supposed to as a church member?
Well, because there's so many good things to say yes to.
Yes.
We call it a good thing because there are. There's a plethora of good things to say yes to. And we'll get further into that, I'm sure, in this conversation, because that goes for organizations too, right?
Yeah.
Not just individuals.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I do want to point out that in that verse, when he says say yes or no, he doesn't just say make your yes, yes, period. Mm-hmm. Which means he expects us to say no sometimes.
Did he give us permission to use?
He gave us permission to say no.
He gave us permission to use that four-letter word. No.
He gave us permission. And he said no. So it's four letters.
There you go. Yeah. See, I'm saying four-letter because when I say no, it's not no, it's no. So I have like three O's in there.
You got three O's. Okay. Not today.
Well,
this one's a big one. This one's a big one for me because I'm a yes man.
Yeah.
And I think I've talked about it on here before, but people pleasing is my thorn in the flesh. And so not wanting to let people down was a common history of mine to say yes more than I should have said yes. And then as I learned over the years, those yeses turned into overwhelm, turned into stress.
Yeah.
the yes with stress. Oh, there's something there. We can preach that or something. Yes,
come on now.
Saying yes too much is can lead to the stress. And also just the realization that the more I said yes to, the less I was doing well.
Yeah.
The less I was able to
that's big.
Fulfill the things that God really wanted me to do.
Exactly. And I think that's, you know, it's interesting that you say that because I think of Jesus's life. And I think we can look at Jesus and some of the things that he did and think, man, he really could have made something of this. One of those things was, for example, him catching fish. He had a knack, you know, for catching fish. I mean, it was just so easy for him.
And carpentry.
Bringing in boatloads, right? And man, he could have had prime fishing business of the day. Like, he could have monopolized before people were monopolizing. He could have just got all the fish and took over all the fishing boats and then just worked his ministry off of the fishing income. Just, you know, his people out there fishing passively. All he has to do is go out there every now and again and say, hey, throw it on the left side, and then walk back and, you know, and then go back to doing his ministry thing. And it's one of those things to where there's a lot of things that Jesus could have done and could have excelled at and would have been better at them than the best of his time. I mean, think about this. He was blowing the minds of the fishermen that were the disciples, the ones who had lived their life doing that. He wasn't a fisherman by trade. He was a carpenter. Yeah. Right. And so, I mean, this was outside of his realm, so to speak, when you're talking about his earthly mind, you know, skill set, as far as what his occupation was up to that point. And then he just steps in and he puts them all to shame. Yeah. But he did not just jump into that and say, yes. I'm sure people were wondering, like, hey, can you do the fish thing some more time, you know, a few more times?
Well, then he said yes to things that they or thought he should say no to, like talking to certain individuals.
Or
especially, and like the time when the children are coming to him and they're like, no, you can't, don't bother the Lord. And he's like, no, this is what I came for.
Yeah.
Or the tax collector or Zacchaeus. And there's so many stories of him choosing what to say yes to. And it was the thing that he knew was the right thing.
Yeah.
And then saying no to whatever else he was on his way to do, because the reason they were saying no for him is because he was on his way to do something.
Yeah.
And probably something good.
Oh, yeah.
Because he didn't really do things that weren't good.
There's the instance where he heals the woman from bleeding, right? In that instance, he is on his way to a synagogue leader's home for that synagogue's leader's child. And so almost anybody in that time would have told him, you need to prioritize this man and his child above this woman who's an outcast, right? And unclean. And he took the time to stop and have that conversation with her. And that's just one of those things, again, about Jesus. Because he was so good with his yes and his no, he was able to accomplish so much without being in a rush. He was not in a hurry, even in that instance where he's on his way to heal. And, you know, we would probably be panicking, thinking, you know, time's running out. We got to get there. And he's like, nah, it's cool. We'll get there when we get there, type of deal.
Yeah.
And it's not like he was just, you know, stopping, hanging out with people in the market, talking to everybody that wanted to talk to him. But he knew when he needed to slow down and say yes, right?
Yeah.
And she wasn't even looking for him to talk to her. But he knew when to slow down and say no to people trying to hurry him along, to say yes to the person that needed that time. And I just find that so interesting, because you're right in that he had this wonderful balance of knowing when to say yes and when to say no. But he gives us permission, just like he did, in saying no to people.
Yeah. which is the lesson we need to follow, right? Because he was in constant contact with God.
Yeah.
Constantly going away and praying over what was next and what he needed to do. And even when he, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's going to pray for, like, what's the right yes here?
Yeah.
And of course, he goes through with the his persecution and going to the cross, which was the right yes. And that's, that's a yes that we all have our little harder time saying yes to.
Come on now.
That's an easy one to say no to, though. It's easy to say yes to the conference or to the, you know.
I don't think God is calling me to the sacrifice,
right? And it's harder to say yes to, I'm going to go, you know, serve somewhere in a way that is not going to be comfortable.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. So I think it's interesting. Some of his no's, one that comes to my mind is when he told a lady, I think, was she a just a Gentile or is she a Samaritan? But she's asking for healing for her daughter and he tells her no. And he says, I've been sent to the children of Israel. And you can't take the children's food and cast it to the dogs, which is a whole nother thing, right? This conversation, this tongue-in-cheek conversation he's having with her. And so he actually begins that with a no. And we've even seen, we've talked about with Lazarus as well. He didn't come right away. They said, you know, come right away. And
he said no, he had a bigger purpose.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think knowing, you know, our purpose, what we've been sent to do, and then also having that comes with a confidence in trusting in God and his plan and knowing what he can do and not trying to rush things along. Because someone of lesser faith, right, would have said, okay, we got to get to Lazarus before he dies. Jesus was like, no, we can wait.
Yeah, which brings up a good point, because I mean, we're talking today about us saying no, but there's also this all us hearing no from God.
Yes.
Which that's one example. And I actually had another example, which was Paul saying that he prayed to God to take his thorn from his flesh from him.
Mm-hmm.
He says he prays three times. This is in 2 Corinthians 12.
He says,
three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Mm-hmm. And then there's a reason. There's a reason why he said no.
Yeah.
He says, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Yeah.
Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.
There you go.
And then he says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, probably someone needed to hear that today.
Yes.
But that's that sometimes when God is saying no, and in this case for healing, it's because he needs his power to be shown in your life in another way. Because sometimes if we're just healed right away, or if he takes away that thorn in the flesh, we could get prideful and we could lose sight of how much we need him and how and keep him in our life even.
Yeah.
I think that that's a danger of getting everything we want.
Yeah. There's this other thing that's popping to my mind as well. And this is, I just looked it up real quick. So NIV is what popped up, but it's Acts 16, 6. And this is Paul, his companions are traveling, right? And it says, as they traveled from town to town, I'm starting in verse 4, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's the other one I was going to bring up too.
Oh, see, there you go. So there's this desire of them to actually go. And I think we see this in another instance as well, where, here it is. Yeah. And it's later where Paul talks about, you know, having a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him to come over to Macedonia. And it's interesting because their desire was to go do the right thing, right? Or to go do a good thing,
which is
go preaching the word. They were trying to take it to the ends of the earth, right? And so they were traveling and trying to do missionary work in Asia, which no one would say is a bad thing, right? You would think following Great Commission, right?
And there was a time after that that those people did here.
Exactly. Absolutely. Right. And so it's interesting because sometimes, you know, that gets into the whole yes, no, and no not always being, or yes, not always being this definite forever.
Yeah, it might be and a not yet.
Yes, a not yet, and yes for now type of deal where, you know, things can change and we have to realize that's a possibility and that's even possibly part of God's plan. I know talking with some friends, we often talk about how there are certain ministries that are seasonal. God will call even a group of believers together. And we even say this about churches. Sometimes churches are for a season. I know we like to think we're going to start something that's going to last forever, right? But there's things sometimes, sometimes they're just for a season. And that doesn't mean that they were a failure, but that they were providing something for that season that God wanted in that season. And then he's calling us to something else.
Right. Sometimes they're just different training grounds.
Absolutely.
For us to get the things we need to do the next thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I see that all the time in my life, just the different stops that we've had in different churches and how each one had its place and one had its, even the timing for how that church interacted with new believers versus how they interact with seasoned believers and the different seasons that I've been in and what I've needed at different times and just how God's kind of like taken us through those journeys together. It's been actually really beautiful.
Yeah.
I really see that in God. I think that's true for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we talked about this a little bit with like the big church, small church.
Yeah.
The bigger nets and the smaller nets. And sometimes we come to church through a big net, but then we end up wanting something deeper maybe, or depending on how the church is set up. And sometimes those things are just the pathway that we go through.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all.
Not at all. All right. So let's get down to some nitty gritty here. Cause when I think of people saying no, the first thing that comes to my mind is the overwhelming burden of, like you said, of people pleasing, but also feeling even this moral obligation to not say no, especially when it comes to spiritual leadership, when it comes to their pastors, when it comes to their church, people who are inclined to volunteer, likely already volunteering, and then they're asked to do something more, something further.
Yeah.
And how do we weigh this? I mean, what are your thoughts on as far as a process of knowing when to say yes and when to say no?
I think this is just off the top of my head, but I think there's definitely like a couple different things. One is personal preference, honestly.
Okay.
Like if you are not gifted, if you don't feel like you're going to be able to deal with kids well, don't be in kids ministry.
Yeah.
Unless you feel prompted to try.
Yeah.
Now, because I think a lot of times God can change our hearts and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And that's where the second part comes in, which is always ask God.
Yeah.
Always ask for guidance from God. Ask for guidance from, the spiritual people around you that are also talking to God.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes he speaks best through someone else because we're willing to listen to someone else better than our own inner voice of him.
Yeah.
But I think it's okay to say no to things that aren't in your wheelhouse. I really truly feel after doing leadership for a number of years that people are gifted in different ways and not everybody's an administrator and not everybody's an evangelist and not everybody's able to do the different parts of what every church needs, but they're able to do something.
Yeah.
And absolutely. If you don't know what that is, then that's where you go and try and you try different things and you ask for spiritual guidance and you learn and you see what fits. I know that there's been people that I had in my youth leadership who said they didn't really like hanging out with kids when they got into youth ministry, which is super funny. Now. But God really changed their heart. Now they can't see themselves doing anything else. Mm. So I think there's a reason to try some things. But if, especially if it's like a real no in your spirit, like sometimes you just know.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should feel pressured into anything within the church. And I think you're right. There is kind of sometimes this moral obligation of like, well, we need this particular role filled, so you should just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes we should, you know, if it's picking up trash, I mean, nobody should be above that.
Yeah.
But also, you shouldn't feel like you could get trapped into this role that is not really a good fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're not going to do it with a joyful heart, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because then you end up with grumbling and that's not healthy for unity either. So, so those are kind of I think God puts on our hearts the things that he wants us in, you know. Yeah. He put music on my heart a long time ago. And that's kind of the direction I went in service for the beginning part of my time at the church. And then I moved on to other things as he called me into them.
Yeah.
No,
absolutely. I think that something that's so important there, as you say, consider your preferences, you know, what your skill sets are, the things that you have a desire to do that you have a desire to stay away from. and always, always ask God. And I love how you included talk with other people about that. Talk with your family, your spiritual family, your community. Talk with them about what you're, you know, turning over, what you're praying to God about, because they may be able to speak into that for you, or just even, you know, pray alongside of you for that. And something that comes to my mind in that is, don't rush your answer. I think sometimes we feel like maybe we need to give an answer on the spot, or, you know, we give ourselves like this 24-hour deadline where we have to give an answer. And more than likely, you have more time to make a decision. And so don't rush in trying to figure out what your answer is going to be right away. And that even that may mean, you know, you're asked one Sunday, right, at church, if you're going to be willing to help out with the ushers, right? Don't feel like you have to have a for sure answer the next Sunday.
Yeah.
That
and be okay with,
you may just need to sit on it for a little while.
Yeah. Be okay with making a change, make a decision to change whatever you started.
Yeah. Right.
If it's not a good fit, especially. But then, you know, and it's not just in the church either, right? It's our outside opportunities as well, which there are plenty of those. There's nonprofits all over the place and they're all doing great things. But I think the biggest thing with what we're talking about with how to say no, though, is when you start saying yes to too many things. So there's that first step. We're kind of talking about that first step a little bit with getting into where we're going to serve and where we're going to be a part of ministry and stuff. But then it's like how much.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like I'm good at a lot of different things and I want to do a lot of different things. And that was my issue was, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part. It's almost like a FOMO, right? The FOMO yeses.
Yes.
It's like, I want to just be a part of everything. And I think that's the big thing, like the big takeaway with being able to say no is that too many yeses are not good for us. And we end up not doing things as well as we could. And we generally leads to burnout.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the big things really to avoid, because even if you can say, OK, I can handle these four or five things and do them not maybe as, you know, the best that I could if I was focused on one or two, but I can do them so well that I'm able to do them better than anyone else that would be helping these four or five things. A question that I would have in that is, but how is your emotional health and your mental health and your relationships? How are you balancing this with the rest of your life and your well-being? Because if this is something that's keeping you in a hurry, a state of hurry or stress, and it's leading towards burnout, then that means we need to pull back. Before we get there, we should be pulling back. We should be able to recognize if we're doing too much. And there's going to be seasons. I mean, maybe you're doing something and you know, hey, this is only for a month, right? So at the end of the month, this is going to drop and there may be a busy month there. But if these are indefinite things and you're just, you know, holding on to multiple things that can lead to a lot of stress and hurry in your life, then there needs to be this pullback from how much you're doing, even if you can do them well, because you are not well, your well-being isn't being taken care of.
What you said about like everything else, because then you also got to bring in like your family.
Absolutely. Right?
And how often do people in the church, especially church leaders, get to a point where they can, I've heard this used and it's kind of true, and I've been guilty of it at times, sacrifice your family on the altar of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a pretty crazy thing to say, but that's sometimes what happens. And we have to be really careful, because that is a consequence of too many yeses.
Yeah. Well, and there was this mindset, another phrase that really I would say led to that is this mindset of, hey, you take care of the house of God and God will take care of your house. Don't worry about your house. God's got your house. You need to take care of his house and he'll take care of your house.
But then you got to realize that your house is God's house.
Come on now.
There
are these little phrases that kind of moved into the church and the way of doing ministry. And it's led to a lot of hurt, pain, a lot of, I would say, poor discipleship within the home among ministers and those kind of things, because like you said, we're sacrificing the family in order to serve the ministry. We're focusing more on the church and God's house than we are our own. And I think part of that as well is, for example, when you brought up, how is your family? There's some things, and this is just part of the way that we're built, people who will usually take on roles of ministry leadership, especially males, I would say, but not just males, but especially with males, we can handle more and be okay than our family usually can. So we may feel like, oh, I'm all right. Yeah, it can be a struggle sometimes. It's hard, but like I'm good.
Yeah.
Right. But your family may be a different story, and
a lot of times they won't tell you unless you ask them.
Right. And you're not going to know unless you ask them, and they have to be willing to say no as well. Right. They have to be willing. Cause again, some of those phrases, right? Like the pastor's told, you take care of God's house, he'll take care of yours. The pastor's wife is told, you need to take care of your house so that he can take care of God's. Like, don't bring him all that struggle and drama. Like, you handle it so that he can focus over here, right? Like, that's your job. That's your ministry. And so in that, there needs to be this safe place of communication within the family. Being able to both being able to say, hey, I'm getting weary. We need to adjust. I may need some time. And also being able to say, it's a season. Like, let's stick in there. We got this, right? But there needs to be this back and forth and open communication where you guys are able to work those things out.
Yeah. And being okay with them telling you your spouse or your kids saying, hey, maybe we should say no to this next thing.
Exactly.
Because right. I've had to go through that. My wife has brought that to me before and was like, it's time to say no for a little bit. And and I was stubborn about it, you know, and so and had to be coaxed a little bit. And but thankfully, God helped me through that and I learned some good things with that. And I try not to say yes to too many things anymore because it's exhausting, honestly. And
absolutely.
And it does. So it can lead to a sacrificing of the family.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is, I like throwing out some resources, especially from my favorite authors. One that I've mentioned multiple times is Patrick Lencioni, a great organizational leadership author. He has an organization called the Roundtable Group, and they do coaching, consulting for businesses, and he has a great podcast, lots of books. But probably his most popular is The Five Dysfunctions of an Organization, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And there is one book of his that's a little lesser known, and I love it. And it's called, I think it's Three Questions for a Frantic Family.
Huh.
And that right there, he's really taking a lot of those organizational leadership principles, and he's bringing it into how do we apply this to a family, and showing how as a family, I like how he gets into this. As a family, there are things that we're going to say no to so that we can say yes to what really matters as a family. And that takes us sitting down and saying, these are the things that matter right now. These are our goals as a family. These are the things that we're going to prioritize as a family. And if you know that, if you've had those conversations and you know that as a family, then saying no becomes a whole lot easier because you know what you're guarding and you know what you're working towards and what your goal is. And so that's a great, great book. Three Big Questions for a Frantic Family. Let me look it up, make sure I'm giving the exact title. I know it's something like that. But even in that, I would say same thing goes even for if you are a young single adult that has enough energy for, in your 24 hours than the rest of us old geezers do and 48 or 72, you still need to learn how to take care of yourself and manage what you do alongside of building healthy community and relationships. And so that means knowing what your priorities are, knowing what your goals are, and what's most important at whatever season of life that you're in, and prioritizing that, which means saying no to some other things that would get in the way of that.
Yeah. There's another verse that I wrote down that I think is a good one to maybe kind of come to the end of this on, which is basically saying that not everything is good for you. And God knows what's good for you, even though it could be good or bad as an item, but not everything is good for you specifically. And I think of this even with rising to success too quickly. If you're not ready for that, can lead to pride, can lead to other downfalls of sin that we don't know until we're in the thing that we're looking towards, right? Yeah. But it's 1 Corinthians 10:23, and it says, you say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, and we talked about this earlier with the no is not always a no forever from God. Yeah. Sometimes it's a not yet. And I feel like God has done that with me multiple times. And I realize in the after I've gone through many years of waiting on God for things, that a lot of times his no's were because I needed to learn some stuff first. And sometimes sometimes we're not ready for the yes. And so It's good to be okay with that. And not everything is because not everything is beneficial. And God knows that. And so
you're breaking up a little bit, but I heard you on that. Sometimes we're not ready for the yes.
We're not ready for the yes. Is it better now?
Yeah. Definitely coming through better.
Yeah. So sometimes God is waiting because the thing that would be a yes right now might be not beneficial to us because of where we're at in our spiritual growth. Yeah,
exactly.
And man, so he needs to get us somewhere first. I think of that with like the big, you know, people like Billy Graham and all those. I mean, I'm sure they had their waiting periods before God said yes to them. I know actually a current one that I've been following, Philip Anthony Mitchell. He's gotten really big because he's 2819 Church. And he talks about how at one point in his career that he was chasing that kind of fame. And he knew he was also preaching the word. So he knew it was wrong, but he was chasing it. And he said, God didn't give it to him at that time. I heard a really cool testimony from him on that and how it was when actually he laid it down and really just was like, I'm just going to preach the gospel. Yeah. That now he actually is where he was wanting to be before, but praying that he stays humble in that. Cause you know, that can be a downfall of any person, ultimate fame like that. But
absolutely,
that's basically the word he was saying was that if he would have got it when he originally wanted it, he wouldn't have had the right heart.
Yeah.
And so sometimes God says no for that reason.
Exactly. Man. He's weighing things and seeing things that we at times are oblivious to or just don't want to acknowledge. Like we're acknowledging that we're not quite there yet. We're not quite ready for it. So
and sometimes when we're leading, we have to do that, right? Sometimes when we're leading, we have to do that for others. Like when we're leading other people and we see those tendencies come up in them and we're like, no. And sometimes they'll take that really hard and be like, well, what do you mean? No, I'm gifted in this and I'm ready for this.
Yeah.
And sometimes God gives us the spirit of discernment to be the one that says no. And that's a hard no. That's a hard one to do because we don't want to crush people's dreams or feelings or any of those things. But sometimes if we're really praying about it and listening to God, it's what we're supposed to do.
Exactly. And I think that's another angle on that, it being okay to say no, because you will have people who want to do things. And sometimes you're in a position of leadership where you have to tell them no. And again, that may not mean no and definitely you'll never be able to do this, but it's just not yet. Right. But sometimes we have to tell people no. And that can almost be harder than us telling ourselves no at times.
Yeah. But if you say yes and they're not ready, you can end up with a whole different issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
A whole different set of problems for them and for you. Because it's not always good for them to have heard yes when they should have heard no.
Exactly.
Which is that's a challenge, man. That's one of those hard things of leadership. We have to learn and go through, and it's not always pretty, and you know, people get their feelings hurt, and And I've been on both sides of that, so I know what it's like to hear no, and I know what it's like to say no, and it's not always fun, but usually in hindsight, it is the right thing.
Yeah. No,
especially if you talk to God about it. I shouldn't say usually because sometimes people just say no to say no. Right.
What's it like called? Well, my daughters have said that no is my favorite word. So
I think you're not a good dad if no is not your favorite. Especially with daughters, you know what I'm saying?
Yep, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Because that they definitely hear that more than anything. And it's funny because people will tell me like, oh, you're gonna have so much trouble with them. Christina, she's always saying I'm whipped. And I always say, like, it's so easy for me to say no to these girls. I got this. Usually before my daughter even finishes saying something, I'll just be like, nope. Like, she'll just get started, and I'll just be like, nope.
I hear you on that.
They're helping me practice. They're helping me practice my no. So what's it called? But that book. Thought. Yeah, exactly. That book is three big questions for a frantic family. So I feel like I did have that title right. The three big questions for a frantic family by Patrick Lencioni. That's a really good one. I know another one that goes along with what we've been talking about is, what is it called? You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's,
my book.
Yeah. Everyone knows this one. Not everyone, but you know what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
It's like your best yes. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Best yes. That's another one that kind of touches on this. And I'm so glad that you pointed to Jesus saying your yes be yes, your no be no. And there being this understanding that we will say no at times. Us seeing this in Jesus's life. We've seen in Jesus's life people looking for him, right? And he's off with his father, saying no to the crowds, saying no to the people who are asking for him. And that I feel like is such a great example for us by him to help us know we will have to say no at times. And he shows this, that sometimes we cannot make other people's emergencies our own.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll just add something else while you're coughing. how I see this with church unity is not all churches can say yes to everything as far as ministries that they're involved in. A small church can only do a couple ministries well. And that's where we need to understand what other churches are doing in our communities.
Yeah.
So that we're not having to double up on everything and trying to do everything. Every church cannot do everything. And I always come back to the different body parts, which is both individual, but also at a grander church level. When we're working together with the rest of the church, we can say no to certain things and actually hopefully be able to point them to somewhere else that's saying yes.
Yes.
And then we can say yes to certain things.
If you're willing to work in partnership with other churches,
work across the lines, then we can say no for certain things that other churches are already doing. Like a food pantry is the one I always use as a reference because I think that's an easy one. If one church is doing it really well, you can say, and someone comes in your church says, hey, can we start a food pantry? You could say, well, no, because there's already one in town and let's just support them.
Yeah.
Like you could say no to that because it's happening elsewhere. And because you're working in unity with the rest of the church, you know that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of
food
things.
Pantries, addiction, recovery.
Yeah. Just all the things like
grief shares.
There's not enough resources in any one church to do all those things.
Exactly.
But there are in the church as a whole, there is.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of those things to where as a church, I'm glad that we've gone from, you know, there's that individual that needs to know when to say no, when they're being asked to do something. There's leadership that needs to feel okay saying no to others when they're asking if they can do something. And then also just as ministries, as churches and ministries in general, as organizations in general, the ones that do the best, they know how to narrow down. Again, they figure out what their priority is and they stick with it.
Right.
And they're able to say no to other things. And I think as a church, especially, one of the big struggles there is being willing to send your people or send people somewhere else And not and having this fear of scarcity that, you know, we're going to lose
them people or whatever,
if we're not doing these things. But if we're able to work together as churches within a community to help cover these different areas, that's going to make what we do do a lot better. What we do do.
Yeah.
What we take, what we put our hands towards, that is going to end up having better quality, and we're not going to spread ourselves and our volunteers thin by taking on too much. Because I think most churches do. We take on way too much. Most ministries take on too much. And it's funny because I think I've shared before that I was praying with some other gentlemen just about churches in the area and the church, the Big C church in the area, and just praying for our community. And something that God was really stirring in me was that we need to start asking, rather than asking, what can we do? And it like add on, what can we do? What can we take away? What can we prune? Right? Like, where are you wanting us to prune?
And what can we just make
so
better?
That we have more abundant fruit elsewhere?
Yeah. Well, I think busyness is a tool, is a typical tool of the enemy, right? If he can get us focused on doing potlucks every day, every week, to bring a bunch of people together, he can keep us from doing evangelism, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. If we say yes to every event, we can just spend our whole lives doing events and not actually preaching the gospel. So there's events to say yes to, but there's, but it's not every single one.
No.
And, because I hear that all the time. And that's just American culture in general. Like,
absolutely.
How's everything going? And everybody's like busy. It's like, well, is that busyness producing anything? Are you, or are you just busy? And I think that's the question we have to ask as individuals, but then also as churches.
Yeah.
Is our busyness actually producing what God wants us to produce?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something, the image that just came to my mind on that is that, again, you could be doing a lot of good things, but sometimes doing too much means you're not going to see discipleship the way you should, because there's too much going on. And the image that comes to my mind is, and it's probably because just been talking with some people about the parable and the sower, the parable of the sower. And, you know, if you plant too many seeds right on top of each other, they won't have room to grow.
Right.
Like you can't just like clump up a bunch of seeds.
You can
and stick
overseed
them in there together.
Yeah.
You can overseed. And seeding is a good thing. A seeding is the spreading of the word, right? You can overseed sometimes, though. And so you have to be cautious and consider about, are we doing too much here? Same thing with watering. We seed, we water, right? But if you drown, and we harvest, right? But if you drown things in too much water, they're not going to grow. And so even in these this process of what we see within the Gospels, what we see within Scripture of ministry being correlated to this planting and sowing and watering and reaping and these good things, right? If we're doing too much, then that can also hinder growth just as much if we're not doing it at all. And so we have to figure out where we draw the line. Where do we say no? When are we, you know, dousing our people with too much water by event after event after event? where are we getting beyond tilling the soil and then just ripping it bare because we're raking it too much, you know? And so there's that. We need to be comfortable saying no. And I think part of that, this reminds me just the Sabbath. This is a Sabbath thing, right?
Oh yeah,
and
say no to working on Saturdays.
Come on now. And it's
that's a message that needs to get heard. That is not a common thing for people to say no to.
Right? Right? And it's one of those things to where the Sabbath was a practice that really helped reinforce we are relying on God. Yep. We are trusting in him. And I love it. So, for example, you know, one of the best restaurants out there, Chick-fil-A, right? Them being closed on Sunday, the busiest day of the week for restaurants.
Costs them millions of dollars for sure.
Right? The busiest day of the week for restaurants. Do you know how many? I guarantee you, if we took a poll, that there would be millions upon millions of people who would tell you that at least five Sundays in a year, they're like, oh, it's Sunday, Chick-fil-A's closed.
Yeah, I want to go after church. Like they're already, Chick-fil-A.
They're thinking about going there. They're on their way. And they're like, oh, it's closed. But
Chick-fil-A, feel free to give us, you know, Chick-fil-A for life for mentioning you on our podcast.
But what's it called? Them doing that is an example of their trusting where their provision comes from. They're trusting in God. And that's what it was in scripture. Them not selling, them not doing their businesses on Sundays, them taking a break, a Sabbath day, was this trust in God. And we saw that with the manna. Hey, no, you're going to gather twice as much on Saturday because you're not going out on Sunday. You're going to trust that God is providing and you're going to trust that he's going to keep this food good for you. And then, I mean, they got crazy with it because they'd go into the seventh year and they wouldn't sow and reap in the seventh year. And it's like, like you're taking a Sabbath year, right? And the 70th and those different types of things. And all of those things are a great display in trusting God and his provision and his leadership. And there's so many things that Israel did in taking, you know, trips to their Sabbaths. Those different things helped reinforce that God is the one who's keeping us safe. God is the one who's providing. God is the one that causes the growth, as Paul says, right? And so if we can kind of get that into our mindset of we don't have to overwork in order to see the fruit, right? But we can trust God to multiply what good work we've put in.
Yeah. You know, now you're getting into like a whole other thing we could talk about, right? Which is like the, if I don't say yes, does God still love me? You know, or that, maybe that kind of stuff.
Oh, come on.
Where
now.
You start getting into works and stuff. That's a whole nother conversation, but that.
Come on
that's,
now. That's but true, that's, though. Again, is your yes? In.
Is your yes tied to that? Because it shouldn't be.
Yeah. Come on now. And I think that ties in with, as we were talking about, like that moral pressure and obligation that sometimes we feel when it comes to saying yes to the church or saying yes to ministry leadership, because we almost take that as we're saying no to God if we say no to the church or say no to, you know, ministry leadership. And that's not how that should be. And that's one of those things to where ministry leaders need to make it clear and do a good job of helping people understand you can say no and you're still going to be loved. You're still going to be welcome. We're still going to see you as valuable. God's not going to be upset with you. We're not going to be upset with you. And obviously this needs to be true. And so if it's not true, we kind of need to check our hearts, right?
because
they should be able to say no. And so that's one of those things to where I love, again, another example that we see in scripture, just even when they're building the tabernacle and people are bringing free will offerings for all the material to make the stuff in the tabernacle. And God literally says those who are moved to do it, it's a free will offering. And so there wasn't this, you know, obligation when it came to building the church, building the tabernacle, right? But it was this free will offering, and they ended up with more than they needed. They had to start telling people to stop bringing stuff. And so I just think that's, again, but that's a, that takes some faith. That takes some faith right there.
Yep.
Man. Okay.
Enough faith to say no. Maybe that's what we should have called this one.
Right? Have enough faith to say no. And to allow others to say no. Right?
Yeah.
Faith to hear the no. Right?
Faith to hear the no. Yep. That's good. All right. I think that's good.
All right. But yeah, I think we're out of time on this one. So let's close in prayer. I know you open today, but I'm going to have you close in prayer as well.
Oh,
on
sure. This one. Yeah, I'll close. Yeah. Lord, I just thank you for this day, God. I pray over those no's that we're considering, God, that you help us to have the discernment to know what things are no's and what things are yeses, because some things are still yeses. And so, God, just give us all discernment. Help us to come to you and listen to your spirit as we decide on things, both individually and organizationally, God. There are so many good things to do. Help us to know what the right good things to do for us in the time that we're in, in the season that we're in. Help us to understand that we are all in seasons. And just be with us through our lives. Help us to know what your will is day to day, God. And thank you for being a part of it, being willing to work with us through our difficulties, through our pride, through our people pleasing, all those things, God, to make us better people. And just bless the fruit of our hands and the work of our hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.